Yeah. to murmur to grumble and complain. Oh, but when I think of Jesus and all that he
never get the story told of the Jasper walls and the gates. John the Revelator in a heavenly vision. He never really said what he saw.
Well, I can sing about heaven for a million years. Still I can never tell.
Children's Church. Now, we wasn't going to do this one, but
that's why she's leaving.
Yeah, it's really. We wasn't going to do this one, but we got here early. We were just horsing around, and Blake did this one, and we were just horsing around, and it started just gelling in there together.
Feeling good.
I started feeling the Lord on it.
Yeah, too.
And I'm Baptist. That's unusual, you know. And so, Blake, I want you to sing this song and sing it like you did a while ago.
Yeah, just like it.
And I'm glad I'm kin to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm a part of a royal bloodline. If you're saved, you're part of that same royal bloodline.
And I would be telling the truth. I can say I am worthless, just a hopeless sinner. That's true, but that's just part of the story I haven't told. You see, I was lost, reborn and raised, a child of the King. I am a royal descendant of a king from Jerusalem. I'm a part of say such a thing. To say I am royal and to claim that my father, well, he's King of Kings. Oh, but that's just part of the story I haven't told it. You see, I met this king, I was washed in his blood, and that's all I know. I am a royal descendant of a king from Jerusalem.
How many know what I'm talking about this morning? You see, I'm a part of the blood.
to Isaac, to Jacob, and Abraham. And I'm a royal descendant of a king from Jerusalem.
A Presbyterian kick the back end of his choir robe out. I tell you, glad I'm a royal descendant from the king. And if you're saved, hey, we're all kin. That is good. Psalm 25. In your Bible, Psalm 25. And we'll read a couple of verses. Keep your Bible handy. We'll have all the verses there on the screen for you here in just a few minutes. Psalm 25, and then we'll be going to some other places. I'm glad I'm saved on my way to heaven. Psalm 25. Now, we don't normally do this, but you've been seated. We sung four songs. You've been seated for a minute. Now listen to me, if you're physically able, some people are not physically able to stand. If you can stand, stretch your legs for a minute. We're going to read these two verses. We'll pray, then you can be seated. That sort of stretches your legs a little bit, lets me preach a little longer. Somebody say amen right there. Psalm 25 and verse number 6. Remember, now listen, when I read this verse, y'all try your best. Try your best to stay in your seat. Try your best not to throw a songbook or slap your neighbor. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth. Let me get to the Pentecostal side. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me. For thy goodness sake, O Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. I thank you for what you've already done in the service, what I felt during the songs of singing about being kin to you. And I just thank you, Lord. There's a good spirit in the house to this morning. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help me not to mess it up. In the flesh, I'm able to do that. But, Lord, I pray that you'd hide us behind the cross, give us something that would be helpful to the people. And God will give you the thanks and the praise for all you do. Now, in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Maybe you're going through a rough side, a battle. That old demon called discouragement has been on your back all week long. Well, you're not the only one. Take a number and get in line. The pressure is on like never before in these days that we live in today. But that Bible said, Lord, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgression. According to thy mercy, remember thou me. I want to develop on that word remember. And that word remember in the Bible, now I know what you're thinking. Because in our terminology, in our English language, when you say remember, it's almost like something, maybe you forgot something. But how many of you know that God don't forget anything? God don't have to be reminded of anything. God, there is nothing that has ever occurred to God. God never woke up in the morning and said, oh, I forgot to do that. So this word remember is not a remember of forgetfulness. But this word in the Bible, remember, means to think upon, to look upon, to respond in mercy and grace when one least deserves it. Boy, I'm glad God looked upon me. I'm glad he thought upon me. I'm glad he responds to me in mercy and grace when I least deserve it. I saw a guy one time, and boy, he was driving a new car, and man, it was nice. I'm talking about nice. I asked that guy, I said, man, where in the world did you get that? He said, well, I'm sorry to say, but my dad just passed away here recently, and he remembered me in death. And I said, well, do you mean that on his deathbed he forgot that he had a son? On his deathbed, he said, oh, yeah, I forgot I had a son. I need to leave him this amount of money for my kids or whatever. Oh, no, he looked upon his son. He thought upon his son. He remembered him in mercy and grace when one least deserves it. Remember thou me. I want you to look at Genesis chapter number 8. It's fixing to be on the screen there for you. In Genesis chapter number 8, in verse number 1, only one verse. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assaged. God remembered Noah. Do you mean to tell me that God forgot about Noah? Did he forgot where that boat was? You know, he woke up and said, well, I lost that boat. I don't know where it's at. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, no, friend. That remember God thought upon Noah. God looked upon Noah. God displayed mercy and grace upon Noah when he least deserves it. Number one, let me say this. God will not forget those that are weary from the storm. God will remember those. I don't care what kind of problem you face, what kind of affliction you face, what kind of trouble you face. God has not forgotten about you. He hasn't taken his eyes off of you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He's not going to strand you. I need some help this morning. He's not going to abandon you. He will not give up on you. He remembers those who are weary from the storm. God was with Noah before the storm came. He was with Noah during the storm, and he was with Noah after the storm. You say, preacher, how do you know that? It's because God said this, Noah, I want you to build that ark. And when you build that ark, you pitch it within, without, to put all of that pitch. And it was sort of like that atonement on the outside, fill in all the cracks so no water can get in and you can't get out. The storm can't get in to you and you can't get out to the storm. And he said, I want you to put one door in that thing. There'll be one way in. You and your family go in the same door that the elephants and the monkeys and the giraffes and the gnats and the mosquitoes. Everybody uses the same door. There ain't but one door. There ain't but one way to heaven. And this is what God said. God said, come on in the ark. Now you say, preacher, what's the difference in come and go? It all depends on if you're in or out. Because if I and you and I were going to go to my house after service and you and I pull up to my house, I would be a gentleman, unlock the door, open the door and say, go on in. But if you came to my house and I was already on the inside, if I was already on the inside and you come and knocked on my door, I wouldn't say go on in the house. I'd say come on into the house because I'm already on the inside. So when God says, Noah, come on in, that means that God was already on the inside. And that ark was pitched within and without so that everything that was on the outside couldn't get on the inside. There was lightnings and thunderings and disturbance on the outside, but there was peace and joy and rest on the inside. There was destruction on the outside, but there was sweet deliverance on the inside. There was sighing on the outside, but there was singing on the inside. There was death on the outside, but there was deliverance on the inside. You say the only difference between the outside and the inside was a wall of pitch that God had told Noah, fill in all of those cracks. Ladies and gentlemen, what's between us and the devil? What's between us and hell is the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 40 days and 40 nights reeling and rocking in the middle of a storm. But God kept his eye on the ark. You say, well, was that thing equipped with radar equipment? It had something better than that on it. It had a GPS on that thing. God's positioning system. Now, I come up with that, and y'all not, look. Y'all would have been a little more excited. Tommy, you would have been standing up way before I got that out. A GPS. Gray's positioning system. God didn't lose that ark. He knew exactly where it was at. And did you know when that ark come to rest, it didn't come to rest in a valley low. It didn't come to rest upon a raging sea or a battlefield. Did you know that ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat? Y'all get ready. I'm fixing to say something. When them folks got off, eight people, Noah and his wife and three sons and their wives, they got off on that ark, they were walking higher than they were before. They were walking high, they were high stepping. When they got off of that ark and God protected them through the storm, aren't you glad God will remember us? Even in the storms of life. About that time, a little dove flutters with a little olive branch in his mouth. And then basically that little dove is saying, you made it through the storm. Everything's going to be all right. Somebody said there was a rainbow. Yes, it was a rainbow. Somebody said there's a pot of gold on the end of that rainbow. I got better news than that. There's a whole city full of it when you get to the end of that rainbow. Hallelujah. And it's a city not made with hands, a city God built. Oh, yes, but watch this. Noah got off of that ark, him and his family, and rushing through all of this stuff. He got off of that ark. God remembered him. God got him through the storm. And you know the good thing about the storm? They do eventually come to an end. So if you're going through a storm, just hang on. They will come to an end. And normally when you get out of that storm, you'll be walking higher than you was before you went in. And when Noah and his family got off of that ark, that Bible says they built an altar unto the Lord. Hey, God brings you through a storm, you ought to tell him thank you. You ought to tell him thank you for remembering you. For he prayed. Hey, did Noah deserve it? No, Noah didn't deserve it. Did God forget him? No, he didn't forget him. He didn't forsake him. He didn't abandon him. But when Noah didn't deserve, his family didn't deserve it, God still thought on him. God still looked upon him. God still bestowed mercy and grace upon him when he least deserved it. Psalm 78 and verse 39. Let me read this verse. Maybe 38 and 39, but maybe two verses. Psalm 78 and verse 38. This is a psalm of remembrance. It's like the nation of Israel's going down memory lane. And they're remembering when they were in Egyptian bondage. They're remembering when they walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. They're remembering when they were out in the wilderness 40 long years. And they were just wandering around, murmuring and complaining. Fussing about the color of the carpet. And they were fussing about what side the piano was on. And now, that don't go all around here, but it does go on in some churches. And it's too loud, and I can't hear. And they were just murmuring and complaining. Don't look to your right or your left. But they wasn't going anywhere. They were just making a lot of movement. And in Psalm 78, they are having a memory lane party. In verse 38, but he, God, being full of compassion, forgave. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. God forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time God turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Somebody ought to be throwing a songbook right now. Verse 39, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and cometh not again. God remembered. They're going through memory lane. You watching them? These Israelites, they're saying, boy, you know God was good to us. We murmured, we complained, we fussed against Moses. We didn't like the way he was leading us. And he wanted to have a fish fry. And no, I mean, he just... it's just too much work. There's too much involved with all this stuff. God, I don't know why. I mean, hey, Lord, if you don't keep God's people busy, they start wandering around. You got to keep them busy. And you know what? Even through our murmuring, even through our complaining, even through all of our just being just, y'all ever just being a knucklehead? They were reminiscing and they said, he, God, remembered that we were but just flesh. And he didn't kill us. He still blessed us even when we were knuckleheads. Now, not only God will remember those in the storm, but number two, God remembered that they were but just flesh. God will remember those who are weakened by the flesh. They griped, they grumbled, they murmured. Poor Moses, he couldn't do anything right. They griped the way that God was leading and Moses was feeding. They had the judgment of God on them. They sinned, God judged them, and it was bad. But don't you know in Psalm 78, it's a reminder that even though they got bad, God still blessed them. They grumbled and God still blessed them. They murmured and God still blessed them. They griped and God still blessed them. He gave them water out of the rock when they didn't deserve it. He gave them quail meat out of the sky that they didn't even deserve. Manna from heaven that they didn't even deserve. And that Bible says that he remembered. God remembered. They just flesh. Now listen, let me just say this. This might not be a good Sunday morning sermon. But listen, everybody in here is just flesh. And you still have trouble with your flesh. You say, preacher, my worst problem. Let me stop you. Your worst problem is the person you looked in the mirror at this morning. That is your worst problem. Because God will remember those that are still weakened by the flesh. We don't deserve God's favor. We've betrayed God. We hadn't been faithful to God. But he's still been faithful to us. Let me give you a pastor example. I have pastored several churches. And matter of fact, Jeff was a member of my church when I was in Atwood. And I remember, boy, when I first started, son, I'd get a sermon. And man, I'm telling you what, I said, man, this is fixing to be good. Son, I got up, got me a three-point outline, and I said, man, I'm going to have to get two or three pens. I'm going to be signing Bibles all afternoon. When I get done preaching this, son, I'm talking about we're going to run out of cards to fill out. People are going to be flooding the altar. People are going to get saved and all this, and they're going to be shaking my hand. I'm going to have arthritis in my hand. Well, I'm going to shake so many hands, this is going to be a good one. And, son, I get there and preach. And, son, everything I said, it did like this. It never made it past the communion table. Son, I tried. I did my best, son. And just landed right there on the communion table and just laid there. Everybody sitting there going. And I'm thinking, you know, I just cut the sermon short. I said, God bless y'all. You're dismissed. See you tonight. I get in the afternoon. I'm telling you personal illustration now. Y'all pray for me. I know y'all don't do nothing. I know y'all are perfect and all that and spiritual. all afternoon, I'd mull over that and say, boy, I tell you what happened. I don't understand what happened. I was mad at myself. I said, boy, that was a good sermon. That was a good outline and all of that. And God says, well, you had a good outline, but you just didn't have an inline. You had a good outline. You just didn't have an inline. And boy, I was so mad. I couldn't even get no, I couldn't even get no scripture together. I had to preach that night. 6 o'clock. It's 5:30. I still ain't got nothing. I'm still mad from the Sunday morning. I'm still upset. Why? Because in our flesh, we do that. We get up there, and boy, the singing was good that night. And I'm sitting there going, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have a clue what I'm fixing to do. I got up there and just turned to something and said, well, maybe we can do something here. So I started reading around, and about 5 minutes through there, and all of a sudden the wind started blowing in there. God started settling down on that place, and things started moving around. God started blessing. You say, preacher, you didn't even study that afternoon. You was mad. You was all in the flesh. God remembered that we are just but flesh. And he thought on me. He looked upon me. He gave me something I didn't deserve. And he blew through that place and he said, son, when I show up, it ain't about you. It's all about me. I'll remember you anyway. I'll bless you in spite of yourself. I'm glad we serve a God who will remember those who are weakened by the flesh. You say, preacher, you got any Bible? Oh, yeah. I got some Bible. Man, when they're out in the wilderness, they ain't passing out tracts. They wasn't in a Bible conference. They was fussing and fighting and fuming. And God still blessed them with water from the rock. Still blessed them with quail meat. Still blessed them with manna from on high. God says, I bless you. It ain't because of you. It ain't because your daddy was a preacher or you know all of these verses in the Bible. I'm going to bless you because I'm good and not because you're good. He blesses in spite of himself. He remembers we are but flesh. The greatest preacher in the Bible, I think, was Apostle Paul, probably other than the Lord Jesus Christ, wrote 13 books in the New Testament. And Paul said this. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. We're talking about somebody who wrote 13 books of the New Testament that we read out of. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. My flesh, God, you know my flesh. God's still to bless. He will remember. You say, I've made some mistakes since I've been saved. Well, take a number and get in line. Y'all remember a fellow by the name of Jonah? Jonah disobeyed God. Remember that? And the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A second time. God remembered him anyway. I remember all through that Bible, there's people like Elijah. Elijah was down on himself, murmuring, complaining. He's done hid up in a cave somewhere, and God fed him with the ravens. Even though he was in that depressed situation, God still blessed him because he was weakened by the flesh. John the Baptist. So he's the one baptized Jesus. He's the one saw heaven open. And the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son. You say, you believe in the Trinity? Well, sure. The baptism of Jesus proves that. There was a voice from heaven. That's God the Father said, this is my beloved son. That's God the Son standing in the water. He baptized him. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Three in one. Hallelujah. John saw that. John got thrown in prison. John said this. John says, somebody go ask him, is he the one or should we look for another? John, why are you asking that? Why are you baptized him. You ought to know. In prison, John got weak in the flesh. And boy, the messengers came back and said, John, lift up your head. The blind are seeing. The lame are walking. He's the one we've been looking for. Yes, he got weak in the flesh. Do I need to even bring up Peter? Do I need to even bring up Peter? denied the Lord. Boy, he got weak in the flesh, didn't he? God still blessed him. I think, if I ain't mistaken, he wrote the sermon on the day of Pentecost. It was a pretty good sermon. 3,000 people got saved. That's pretty good. Pretty good sermon, wouldn't you say? God still blesses those that are weakened by the flesh. But I got one more. Luke 23. When you go to Luke 23, it's almost like you want to take your shoes off, because you're standing on holy ground around Luke 23. When you get to Luke 23, we're at a place called Mount Calvary. There's three crosses. That guy on the left, I don't know. I don't know who he is. The guy on the right, I don't have any idea. But there's a guy in the middle. There's a guy in the middle you need to know. If you don't know him, you ought to know him today. And that Bible says in verse number 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Boy, ain't that something? That fella didn't have any respect for God. He said, if you are, I don't know if you are or not, but if you are, why don't you get yourself down, and while you're doing it, get us down and save our hides. But the other one, answering, rebuked his friend, saying, dost thou not fear God? Do you know who this is? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our... We deserve to be hanging on these crosses. But this man in the middle has done nothing amiss. Verse 42, ready? That other thief said, he said unto Jesus, can y'all see him hanging on the cross? He just looks over. He says, Lord, remember me. Look upon me. Have mercy on me. Give me grace and mercy that I don't deserve. Lord, look my way. Lord, would you think my way? Would you remember? It ain't that he forgot about him. Lord, just remember me. And Jesus said, today, today, not tomorrow, not after you find a Baptist or somewhere. He didn't say, hey, look, John, you're going to have to go find John the Baptist. He was the same guy that baptized me. You've got to get baptized with him, wash your sins away before you can, you know. No, Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Now, there's two things I want you to look at, these two thieves. One of them said, if thou be. The other one said, when. One of them said, if. I don't know if you are or not. You say, preacher, how do you know that other thief got in? Because just the statement that he said, Lord, called him Lord, remember me, have mercy and grace upon me. Give me something I don't deserve. I deserve to die right here. But Lord, would you look my way and remember me when, not if, when you get into your kingdom. You know what that tells me? That tells me he believed that guy in the middle was a king, because he had a kingdom. He said, remember me when. Have you ever had a time and place where the Holy Spirit of God got you pinned up and you couldn't do nothing but look up and say, God, remember, would you remember me? It ain't that he forgot you. That ain't it. That ain't the definition. Lord, look on me. Think on me. Dispense your mercy and grace. You remember that guy that I was telling you about driving that new car? I forgot this one thing he said. He said, I was just born in the right family. His daddy got him a new car. He said, I was just born in the right family. I got news for you. You know why he looked on me? I was born in the right family. Amen. I'm a royal descendant from a king, from Jerusalem. He'll remember. God remembers those who are weary in the storm. He remembers those who are weakened by the flesh. And he'll remember those who were weeping over their sin. How about you? Has there ever been a time and a place where you can go back and say, Lord, remember me? I don't know who that guy is. I don't know who that guy is. But I know who that guy is. And he died for the sins of the whole world. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart God has raised you from the dead, thou shalt be. Has there ever been a time and a place where you cried out to God? Maybe you didn't use these exact words, but in the heart, that's what you meant. Lord, remember me. When we all get to heaven, Blake, when we all get to heaven, somebody going to pass me and say, oh, how'd you get up here? There's probably somebody going to say, oh, how'd you get up here? How'd you make it? Thank you.